shine, little Glover, glimmer, glimmer, lead us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. Yes, I'm your host, Jill Spears, here again. We are so consistent. Lance and Lulu, good evening.
Hi,
hi, everybody. I love the way Jill goes, good evening.
Let's wind it on up.
Yeah.
Yeah, great to be here again. I'm looking forward to this every week.
I am
to come
too.
In and connect.
It's just getting better and better, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And
so many people out in their garden this year and walking around town. You just see things coming alive and fun.
Mm-hmm. I went to a friend's garden today, this evening, and it was very nice. It's all in pots or raised beds and stuff, but did a good job.
Mm-hmm. See, where there's a will, there's a way.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
No matter what. I mean, and it's so fabulous. I go out in my garden in the morning, and I just stand there and be blown away.
Right.
Because
so thankful for.
Yeah. Then I graze. Mm.
Then you graze.
There you go. Yeah. And that's going on big time now.
Yeah.
Grazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What? I got the raspberries and the currants, the black currants.
Oh, the black currants are just coming in.
Those are really, they're really good. And then there are not many of them, but you get a handful, and it's like, oh,
do you have the old fashioned ones?
They're volunteers in the hedgerow.
Yeah. Ooh,
yep.
Nice.
The birds brought them in.
Yep, that's what I've got too. And it's funny because you really have to wait for them to get ripe.
Yeah,
mine are just now coming, but. The ones that are more in the shade, they're loaded.
Yeah. What I noticed to find the right ones is they go from black and shiny to dull.
Oh, there you go. They dull
back.
I see that right.
They dull back. That's when you want to eat them.
Yeah.
You know, black and shiny, no.
No.
Yeah. I mean, they're okay.
Yeah, but they're just a little more.
No,
yeah.
The kind is when they're dulled back. And you don't – the ones that are – you know, raisiny, you want to get rid of those too.
Yeah.
Just crumple them right off the vine. Yeah. They might have that little worm in them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
mm-hmm.
they do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But,
and
you know, it doesn't.
Carrots and celery and in the evening, that's what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
what's up, Doc?
I do that in the evening. You do it
in the
morning.
Yeah,
good. Except for maybe the raspberries. That's
right.
Anytime.
That's continual.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Well, my elderberries are just starting to get black.
Oh, gosh, the elderberries
are
loaded this
my
year,
God,
huh?
Oh, gajillions. And the wild grapes, well, they're not wild. They were planted there originally, but the ones that are out by the hen house, Lance and Jill are passing notes. The ones
looks like a math equation. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
She hasn't said the phone number yet.
Oh.
Wow.
Thank you, Lance. 970-527-4868-866 KVNF now. Jeff's in there ready to take your call. We're live.
Yeah, we are alive, baby.
Hey,
get it while you can.
Right? It's hot and fresh right now.
Right now.
Hey, remember last week we were talking about the chicks and hens?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
The Semper Vivum.
Vivum.
Mm-hmm. And Michelle just followed up with an email for us that Semper Vivum, always living, live forever.
Right. And that's what. And the sequoias are Sempra Virvin. They have an R. The hens and chicks go V-I-V. The sequoias and those go V-I-R.
Vervin
or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's getting way too technical. But the bottom line is
they live forever.
They live forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the seed thing, that was the question, was the flowering stalky
mm-hmm.
thing
yeah.
and the seeds. And it don't bother. By the time you get the flower stalky thing, you've got so many babies. Just
mm-hmm.
deal.
Yeah.
Just keep the babies.
I mean, it'd be interesting to just put that flower stalk in another part of your rock garden or something.
Oh,
yeah,
that's a good idea.
And just see what happens.
See what happens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got it going on all over, so
mm-hmm.
maybe I'll just take one and try that.
I should get some going.
Oh, I love them.
Mm-hmm.
They're so fun.
My favorite thing
multiplying.
That goes free every year and has really gone off this year is the Desert 4 o'clocks.
Ooh, what's that?
Mirabilis multiflora.
What color is that?
Magenta.
Ooh.
And it's out in the death part of the hell strip by the fire hydrant.
Ground cover?
Yeah, and I still haven't dealt with it. I still haven't dealt with the hell strip, so it still looks really bad, but I don't care. And that stuff's out there, and it's beautiful.
Lovely magenta, magenta on the hell strip. 4 o'clock? Right.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock, yeah.
Desert, in other 4 words, o'clock.
Yeah, that means they bloom in the afternoon.
Sure.
4 o'clock.
Yeah, but really they bloom almost all the time. They're showy. They just love to show off. And they're one of those things that can grow in the gravel by the side of the road. They really don't need any attention.
Right. Okay. But, it's 4 o'clock somewhere on the hell strip.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but in the meantime, you know, if you give them a little attention, hoo la la.
Yeah.
They have
coming
the best
on.
Time. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So, there you go.
Hey, and we also talked to Norwood last week. That was Eric down there in Norwood. And we were talking about garlic. Lance, you had a boo-boo suggestion.
Well, I had just a thought is because if you let all of those, what happens when you let garlic sit in the ground, the whole bulb eventually splits open and they might rot, but they really aren't good for storage. And you got to think, well, why not take 10 or 15 of those garlics at the end of the row, just leave them there. You harvest everything out and store those, let those mature the seeds or bubbles on top and go from there.
Right, and that's what I do.
Yeah.
I'll go out there and get what I just did that, as a matter of fact. Like, oh my God, I got scared to death. I had to deal with my irrigation tank, and I took the cover off, and there were all these black widows in there.
Oh, baby.
So anyway, so I dealt with that, and then today the project was to go back into that spot and deal with the garlic. I know I didn't kill them. I tried. I only killed one. So the other
where they're doing their job.
I know that
they're eating bugs.
And you know they're not after me specifically, but you can bet I was careful out there.
I know,
because I figured she was gunning for me. But I just let them go, the garlics, and then the bubons, bourbon goes where they go wherever they want. And if they start a new something, great.
Yeah.
They don't, great. But then you have this continuous supply of, you know, whatever. And I dug up some today, and it's exactly what you were saying. The bulbs were all splitting. Because I had emptied the cistern, they were quite wet. There's no reason why they should dry out. So I harvest them all, and it'll take me forever to get them out of the skins and all of that. But, you know, you just have this continuous source of garlic, whether you dry
like
it
that.
And fuss with it or not. It's just it's always out there.
And you eat those split apart cloves, you eat first. You don't store them.
Right. Mm-hmm. You just eat them. Exactly. That's exactly the point. Yeah.
You gotta.
All right. We do. We have a caller. It is Marilyn in Paonia. Good evening, Marilyn.
Hi, Worms.
Hi.
Hey, I have a tomato problem.
Uh-oh.
I have 4 plants. They're black crim that I raised from seed, and from seed that I saved. And they each have a couple tomatoes on and no blossoms for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
It's too hot.
Yep. They're not happy.
They're not happy. Now that it's cooled off, you'll have some more blossoms.
Yeah. Are you still
okay?
There? Oh, yeah, there you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be fine. I mean, it's supposed to get hot again next week, but or tomorrow or something. But considering that the weather has been almost wrong almost every day, I wouldn't bank on anything. And you'll be fine. They'll come back on.
Mm-hmm.
They should.
Okay. There have been cool nights, like down in the low 50s and a couple in the upper 40s where I am.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's the opposite end. It's too cold.
It's too cold. And they don't like those big mood swings, temperature swings and mood swings. Have you ever tried using those walls of water?
Walls of water.
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, I'm not a big proponent of plastic in the garden, but there are these things called walls of water, and they're tubes that you fill with water that go around your plant, and they kind of help regulate the temperature.
Sure, I can
So, you know, it could help.
Or you can do row covers over it.
Yeah, or you can do row covers.
At least at night.
Yeah.
But the tomatoes have a very narrow range of comfortability, and it's like 60, 65 to 90, 95.
Right.
Anything above that, the pollen, we talked about, the pollen tube doesn't work or starts to abort. Anything cold in that, the same thing in the opposite end. And so that you're having both too hot and too cold.
Yeah. And another idea is varieties that are less fussy about that. My Sungolds they don't care.
Right.
They clearly don't care. Mm-hmm. And once they get up to a certain height, then they really don't care. They're just into making making fruit.
The friend in Gunnison grows Tupiska.
Tupiska.
It's a Russian, and they bred them for cold or cool weather production. And I'm sorry, I'll get that pronunciation down, but it's a Russian one called Tupiska. And I'm not quite pronouncing that right, but it might work really good for you.
There you go.
She's in Gunnison. Yeah.
Oh, would it help to cover them with a black screen cloth?
At night? Yeah, you can cover them at night.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, I was thinking.
We didn't get that one.
I think she's. Oh, Marilyn?
Yes?
I don't think we got your last question after the black screen cloth.
If I put that over like lettuce.
Oh.
And it lowers the temperature during the day from 10 to 20 degrees.
You want shade cloth. That's what you're talking about. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what the percentage you want on that because they come in a different percentage of how much. You'd have to investigate what people want. But, yeah, you can drop with shade cloth, you can drop the temperature anywhere from 10 to 15 degrees.
Okay, so that might help, too, during the day?
Yeah. Where are you exactly? Where are you located again?
Here in
Peos. Oh, yeah. Up on Stewart Mesa.
Yeah.
Everybody has a microclimate.
Yeah,
here,
I'll
you know?
Tell you. Yeah.
All right. Great.
Okay. Well, thanks for your help.
Good luck, Marilyn.
Good luck. Yeah.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, we were just talking about the rain and how some of us got rain. Lance, you just over there on LaRue Creek. Not much rain at all?
Not much rain at all.
Yeah. And I think out of that last cycle, I'll bet I got a little over a half an inch.
Wow.
And I might have gotten an eighth.
Yeah.
There you go.
And it just to have everything refreshed at night.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Heaven.
So nice. Yeah. All right. 970-527-4868-866 KVNF now. And it's our friend Duna in Norwood on the line. Hello, Duna.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Okay, Lulu, you were talking about the COVID-19 herbs last week, and you were talking about milkweed. I wish I could have grown that orange milkweed. But anyway, there was a guy on the radio, not to be disloyal to KVNF on Kodo, that I guess he runs a medicine ranch, and he was suggesting honeysuckle, indigo, and milk vetch, which is a pea, as you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I wonder if that guy in Telluride is the same guy that's been doing it for a long time down there.
I could give you the number, but I don't know if it's fair over the radio.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeff, can you take that, Jeff, from her? Oh, okay. Hey, Duna, why don't you shoot us an email, worm@kvnf.org.
Yeah, shoot us an email.
Forget the computer illiterate.
Oh, okay. Oh, no worries.
No worries.
We'll figure it out.
Well, maybe
here.
You know, but still, that's great. That's great information.
Because you know, this is kind of getting more and more serious. So, honeysuckle, indigo, and milk vetch.
Awesome.
Okay, if you can get those out in your yard. Huh?
All right, and I'll talk to Jeff.
Thank you, Duna. Thanks for passing
that
along.
Number.
All right.
Thanks. You know, I bet there's, well, I was always saying, yeah, the Navajo medicine men. I mm-hmm. wonder what they're up to.
Well, I don't know.
I don't, yeah.
Licorice well, root, when, something like
something
that.
Something like that. Because mm-hmm. when hantavirus got into the reservation, mm-hmm. they did something, you know, because they are that way, and it went away. Mm. You know, it, or, you know, maybe it was just coincidence or whatever, but.
We'll take coincidence
yeah,
right
I'll,
now.
Yeah, you know what? I'll take anything right now. Yes. I'm not depressed or anything. It's just the impact. I don't think people realize the impact that it's going to have and is
it's
having.
It's big, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so great to connect here every week.
Yeah,
get
amen.
Out in our gardens.
Yeah,
so
get out in your garden.
And, keep it real.
You know, just keep your head down and try and stay safe.
All right, we'll get through it.
Yeah, we'll get through it.
Okay, it is an email here from Tara. And let's see. Tara has a bare bed waiting for late fall planting, maybe garlic, parsnips. How would you treat the ground? Also ground that won't be planted until next spring. So some bed preps and
well,
that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't do any for the stuff that's going to be planted next spring. I wouldn't do that till November.
Yeah.
Because if you do it now, a lot of that nutrient stuff will leach out.
Okay.
Dry up. Ahead. It'll go. So do it in the fall, late fall,
right?
Even December.
And I've got that going on where I had this huge patch of lamb's quarter,
mm-hmm.
and I just cleared the whole bed, chopped everything down, chopped and dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm waiting for the comfrey to finish because the bumblebees use it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
so heavy.
Nice.
And then I'll just put that on the soil as well, and
mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, I'm not going to do anything fancy, but
yeah.
By the time that comfrey gets done and the stuff that's already on there, and then next spring I'll do something else
mm-hmm.
to it. You know,
yeah.
I'll do stuff again. But
yeah, as far as the planting stuff, she can any compost or rotted. Age manure, any of that kind of stuff will work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and,
in planting now in the
yeah,
fall,
for, in
for
the fall,
her fall, stuff.
Fall crop. Yeah,
yeah.
You're all prepped for planting.
I'm all prepped,
you?
And I compost. One area that had some early carrots in it, what I did is I spread compost and broad forked it. I didn't turn the soil. The other areas had garlic, so I actually tilled compost into that because it was
mm-hmm.
all dug up already.
Mm. That's what I did. I took my garlic patch and tilled
mm-hmm.
it up. And then I put one big row of arugula in there for pesto.
Yeah.
And then the other two spots have beets. Oh, my God, the beets are doing. And the I don't know which is which.
Oh, you hadn't figured that one out yet.
It just barely. I think I have the endive figured out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, just.
Surprise.
And you know what else? Oh, my God, there are a gajillion, gamillion, gabillion purslane. Purslane plants,
coming up.
Seeds.
They
yeah.
like it warm.
Oh, man. I've never had that much.
Really?
Ever. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
I mean, it's thick, thick, thick. I'm going to have to get in there and fuss with all that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You will.
Yeah, I will. The beets, I thinned the beets the first time, so they're waiting for their
mm-hmm.
second coming and of the Lord beet thinner.
Okay.
And you're training spaghetti squash.
Oh, God, a spaghetti squash is going it's going up on the fence, just like it was supposed to. I had to convince it a little bit, tie it. But now it's all happy. And
yeah.
And the pumpkin is, too. So I've got these great little pumpkins about the size of, a little bigger than a softball. They're making
sweet.
Their way. Yeah.
Wow.
And we were talking about, you guys were saying you had no cucumbers.
Right. What's
yeah.
the deal with the cucumbers not producing?
Well, it's just the squash, the currants, when they first come up and they start growing, they mainly just have male flowers. And then the female flowers start kicking in. And I'm just now starting to get some female blossoms. And you know, I've had some people, especially cucumbers. You know, my squash are doing great.
Yeah, mine
mm-hmm.
are too.
Yeah,
huh.
But
here's my deal. So I got these melon plants from my neighbor. So I put the melon plants in the pot. And then, you know, I said, I didn't plant any cucumbers, so I put the cucumbers in the pot, too. The cucumbers are making baby cucumbers, but I have yet to see a melon. And they're everywhere. I mean, there's thousands of these viney. I mean, they're gorgeous, thick, thick, thick leaves, blossoms.
Yeah.
No melons.
No.
C'est la vie, eh?
Yeah.
It's kind of happening on some different plants this year, just sort of a mishmash of...
Yeah, I mean, my early zucchini, normally you have male flowers. Like I said, mine was all female flowers. But because there was no male flowers, they all fell off.
Yeah, yeah. The females aren't happy.
Yeah.
Sad but true.
Need some pickings.
Yeah.
All right, 970-527-4868-866 KVNF now. Another question from Tara. She just says she's had very poor germination of green beans. Could she have overwatered?
She could have overwatered. It could be old seed.
Yeah, did you use an inoculant? I like using those little
inoculants. Yeah, well, you could, yeah.
Yeah, and or it could be that the birds are getting it. You know how when they come up, sometimes the birds mange them?
The birds mange them. I had one year the sow bugs were so bad that as soon as the ground started to push up with the beans, they were eaten off underground. And that's also... a possibility.
Yeah,
sow bugs. Slugs.
Yeah, sluggo.
Yeah.
There you go.
Get some sluggo. It works. It's considered an organic solution, but I don't know. It doesn't hurt the worms, but it gets the sow bugs, the earwigs, and the
slugs.
Slugs and the millipedes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gets those pretty good too. So.
No, I've never used it. Mm-hmm. I've seen it. Sometimes I'm tempted.
Mm-hmm. Well, but see, you've got ground control. You've got the snakes and the toads.
All those striped skinks I probably got 10 or 15 now.
Oh,
they're running.
Goodness. Wow.
They're running all over the place.
Yeah, wow,
see,
that's great.
I don't have any of that. I don't have any of those guys. I'm too locked in the big city. There's no water anywhere.
Yeah.
Hell strips all around me.
Yeah, yeah, it's serious.
Hey, and you're, as far as soil prep, you're planting a lot of buckwheat. So when you harvest something, you put buckwheat in.
Yeah, if I'm not going to plant a fall crop of anything, I'm planting buckwheat. And next month, which is next week, as I take things out, I'll start planting a field pea.
Oh, okay, so you can switch over.
It'll go into the cooler weather.
You know, if I was smart, that's what I would have planted where that bed is with the rhubarb and the everything that I just chopped and dropped.
You still could, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose I could. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do I care, right? I don't care.
Yeah.
Get
that's a great idea. Yeah, I'll put something in there.
And what are you leaving the buckwheat in until spring when you go to...
No, I'll turn it in. It just depends on the bees really like the flowers. Mm-hmm. The bees, and so it's almost like, well, I'm doing myself a disservice because now I'm going to have all these seeds come up.
Yeah.
You know,
and
but
that,
the insects, it is just so, in the fall like that, there's not much nectar plants around. Maybe there's some rabbit brush blooming, you know, where I'm at. Anyways.
Right. Well, what I do, so I've got a bunch of mint that's all blooming right now, but there's plenty of other flowers that phlox is going off and other things. So I think I'm going to drop the mint that's blooming because there's a bunch behind it that will come on.
Right. For the bees.
Yeah. And then the bees will have that fall.
Mm-hmm.
And that funny little ground cover, too, that all I've ever heard it called is speedwell. And some people love it and some people hate it, but it has those little blue flowers.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That's a nice thing for the bees late.
Those little small flowers. Yeah. They really love them. But anyway, so I might in some cases turn that buckwheat in and when it gets tall enough, in other cases I just might let it go.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we're going to end up with OKO up on Lost Mesa West, right above Hotchkiss is on the line. Hi, KO.
Hey, Wormy.
Hi.
How are you?
Good to hear from you. What's going on?
Well, I have a quick question around perennial tomatillos. that have a real deep root system. They're very annoying, and they just are starting to flower and put off fruit, but they're interfering with my my flower beds. And so Lance knows this flower bed, and he knows the situation. So I'm just wondering what I do to control that and try to get rid of them without invasive things.
Yeah. I'm continuously continuously pulling mine. I've been pulling it for 10 years.
Yeah.
And, that's...
Stay on top of it.
Yeah, I haven't had that. I haven't had any questions about it, so I'd have to research, you know, and see.
Yeah, I don't know much about it either, but it's always there.
Yeah.
No matter what.
It's there, and I don't really care for them. If I could use them, it'd be one thing, but I don't really care to even use them.
I'm just thinking, how much other plants do you have around it?
Well, it depends on where you're talking about. Some of it's in my flower bed. Some of it's in an area that was cleared off to the west, hot side of the house. And I want to just put some more perennials in there rather than have these things coming up.
I'm just thinking that if you can, you might be able to spray it with the horticultural vinegar.
Oh. Which I did do. You know, I've done that a little bit. And then I caution people to be very careful with that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it didn't really hurt the plants, but what happened was I had apparently a little on my finger and it got in my eye. Oh, my God.
No.
Oh, it's nasty. I mean, it's
that's
intense.
Horrible.
So that's one woman's little gig on that.
I will look up that perennial tomatilla.
Yeah, and just keep after it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to. So then right now, just pull it rather than trying to dig it.
Pull it and hoe it, whatever you can do with it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Get your soil moist before you go after it, so it's easier to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have one other question, if you have the time.
Yes, go ahead.
And I use irrigation water, and I am noticing a little whiteness about some of the leaves on a few of the plants. I'm definitely not overwatering, and I know there's a mildew you can get if you do overwater on certain kinds of plants, but we're talking about a pink yarrow and, not rose bushes. But so what's up with that?
I think it's the minerals in the water and after the water has been evaporating, because you're getting that wastewater seep from the Fire Mountain Canal, and you put it into a pond. And I've seen this with, Duke Hill water has that mineral in it.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't realize it was so bad it actually stained the windows at a place that I was.
Yeah, it can be sort of crusty-like.
Yeah. And so my only thought, if it really becomes a problem right there where you had the sprinkler valves, you could somehow siphon vinegar into the water, and it will take care of it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and you don't want it high. You don't want a high acid. Want some vinegar, and it will cut that.
Right. Because that 30% vinegar is an education, because most of what you use is 5% in your kitchen, maybe 6 or 7.
Yeah, it's hot.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, I appreciate the time and appreciate all you guys do, and thought I would just call in for the first time.
Thanks, K.O. Great to hear from you.
Great. Yeah. Thank you for being there.
Right.
Have a grand evening.
You too.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. I had some of that on my plants even, and I'm on the Stewart ditch.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
My well water will do it from time to time, that where the minerals, it dries out fast enough that the minerals are actually
there. It was on my lamb's quarter, and you know lamb's quarter can get downy mildew pretty easy, and I kept thinking, oh man, but no, it wasn't. It was just that
irrigation
water.
All right.
So there you go.
All right, folks. That does it for us again this Tuesday. That went quickly, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you, callers. Thank you, listeners, and thanks for your emails.
Thank you to all you guys who are out there being part of the great humanity of man.
There you go.
All right.
Carry on, right?
Carry on, right?
Mm-hmm. And Tara's going to come up next with One Woman's Perspective. We'll be back next Tuesday for As the Worm Turns. Thanks for listening to KVNF.
All right. Well, have a good evening out there.
Good night, everybody. Be kind to one another.
I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Lord,